Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and you can check us out on ESPN Plus. Come look at us. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in for Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We've had some great ones over the course of today. Teron Davenport, our ESPN Titans reporter, Mike Wells, our ESPN Colts reporter, and Booger McFarland. You guys have seen him everywhere covering football here, the NFL vet all over the place. But, Amber, we know what we're waiting on right now here because we've had plenty of time to digest the absolute shellacking that the Patriots put on the Eagles last night in Thursday night preseason football. We know we've got a full slate that we can look ahead to and get excited about for the preseason this weekend. But you and I have been waiting for this all day here. A couple of Ted Lasso fans hoping to talk to Christo Fernandez, a.k.a. Danny Rojas, here very soon on the Goodyear Hotline. And I believe we have him right now. So for anyone, if you've missed the phenomenon that has been Ted Lasso, the Apple TV show that during the course of this last year and change has taken pop culture, taken the world by storm, a lovable story of an American football coach going overseas to England to coach AFC Richmond, a team there as a part of the English soccer group. And one of the stars of that show, Christo Fernandez, who plays Danny Rojas, one of the more lovable characters, joins us now. Christo, we appreciate the time today, my friend. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you very much, guys. It's my pleasure. Thank you for the interview, and thank you for the kind words and for watching the show.
Christo, I'm so curious. As you've gone through this process with the show, have you been surprised by the reaction, by the reception that this show has had in the last year and a half, what stars you've become?
Well, I mean, now that I'm here in L.A. looking for opportunities and working hard, I'm realizing about this. How overwhelming it has been for me at the beginning, discovering all these great success of Ted Lasso, but it's always good when people tell you how positive impact it has had in their lives and how much it has helped them to move on with the difficult times we've all been living. Makes everything more special, and yeah, it's been grabbing us a little bit by surprise, but I think somehow we all knew the scripts were amazing, the good vibes were amazing, the cast and crew, so it's really nice to see all of this happening.
You mentioned the good vibes. Your character has a lot of good vibes on that show. Your signature line is football is life. And football at one point in your life, Christo, was actually life because you grew up playing and you even played professionally as a teenager. How much does that translate to this part? And I am curious, when you decide to stop chasing the soccer dream and to start chasing the acting dream, was there any apprehension there? Because making it in either of those careers is a long shot.
Yeah, and funny story is that I just realized the other day on a Q&A that I, because Bill already mentioned that I came up with the football is life thing, because in my first audition I mentioned how football was life for me. Because of what you said, I used to play professionally, and yeah, like that was my whole life. That was everything I did. My grandma and my mother used to say that I just drink, speak, eat, and watch football all the time. That was it. So, as with any athlete, some injuries happen, and I think regardless of the injuries, there were things that and decisions and possibilities that I could have chosen and decisions I could have made, and I didn't do because I think I was afraid in my head and things that I didn't do, and most importantly, getting out of my comfort zone. So, once I touched bottom personally in my life, failing in soccer and in football, I realized that I was grateful for finding this new passion and the thing that I didn't do back then, I shouldn't do them in these new objectives and goals I had. So that's why I wanted to go as far as I could, go to the UK and struggle with the cold and not understand the key like Ted Lasso. But then realizing it's good because anything that is warm and keeps you warm from this cold weather is good. So I am grateful with the sport. It has given me lots of discipline, and who would have thought that without knowing I could have played this role my whole life.
Christo Fernandez plays Danny Rojas on the hit television show Ted Lasso, joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. And the T certainly been a great through line for a lot of the show with Ted Lasso that you mentioned there. But overcoming some of that struggle, having to deal with injury, we've seen that as a part of this season, the conversation around mental health, sports psychology in this season of Ted Lasso. Why did you guys think that was such an important message that you wanted to be a part of this season of the show?
Well, it's difficult times we've all been living and going through everywhere in the world with the pandemic and COVID and things. Even these first 3 months that we were actually shooting in London were kind of hard because from January to March, we were in complete lockdown in London and not being able to socialize, the cold weather. So I think it's just an important subject that we just need to talk about, and sometimes I feel that it's still considered a bit of taboo, and it shouldn't be like that because we all go through ups and downs in life, in any aspect and things we do in life, and I think it's healthy and important to ask for help when you need it and know that it's fine and it's normal and it's natural. And at least for me, with Danny Rojas, with the character, I'm grateful for these new moments that they are giving myself as an actor. I like to be challenging, but also I think they're making this character feel more of a human person, more of a real person that has ups and downs like anyone else. And to be able to surround yourself with the people, family, and a sports psychologist is important. And I reflect on my life as an athlete, and I think I wish I had a Dr. Sharon, a Ted Lasso that could have pushed me into going and getting this mental health support that I needed. And I think it's important that everyone embraces these new ideas and these new approaches.
We keep talking about the messages of this show. They're important messages. Also, that positivity comes at such a difficult time for everybody. I'm curious, from a personal perspective for you, obviously everyone knows you're an actor. You also have your own production company. Has playing this part in Ted Lasso influenced what kind of projects you want to take on in the future?
I mean, 100%. I realized that the Ted Lasso... The important role we have as artists and actors and filmmakers and in the content and that we put out there. And again, it makes everything more special when people approach you and just not congratulate you for the success of the show, but also thank you for what it's meant for everyone's lives and how it has helped them. And at least for me, in the stories I want to keep telling, I wanted to go in that direction of having a content and a message that is something intentional, something a positive message that I would like to put out there in any story I like to tell. So, yeah, it has allowed me to realize about the importance we have in the content we put out there. 100%.
And that influence and that joy that you guys have brought that is certainly going to influence you, and I think a lot of other people have watched this show, has been incredible. I am curious, Christo, we all watch the show and everyone latches on. Your character's been a favorite for so many. Coach Beard, you know, Jason Sudeikis playing Ted Lasso. As you've gone through and been around the show and seen the show, is there a character that you've kind of fallen in love with besides your own on the show that you're a really big fan of?
Oh man, you're putting it hard because everyone's characters are amazing and everyone in the cast are awesome. And I love Nate the Great, his journey and how Nick Mohammed plays it amazingly. One of my favorite scenes is that famous Nate speech in the local room. But I find Roy Kent really inspirational because it's like that anger that well, it could be bad, but approaching a positive way, you know? So one of my favorite books is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. So I think that book represents what it is somehow, and Brent Olson is amazing, and if I have to choose right now one, I'll take what can.
Roy Kent is a great choice. I have an AFC Richmond Roy Kent jersey in the mail on the way to my house right now, but the Danny Rojas jersey is not far behind on that one. Christo Fernandez plays Danny Rojas on the hit show Ted Lasso here. He is incredible. If you haven't already watched the show and seen him yell, "Football is life," then you are gravely, gravely missing out. Christo, we can't thank you enough for giving us some time today. It was so much fun. Thank you for everything you guys do, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, definitely. Just let me know when, and I'll be there. And again, I appreciate your time, guys, and for watching the show, the kind words. And thank you very much. The first of many more, and we keep in touch.
Absolutely. There we go. Christo Fernandez, Danny Rojas, friend of the show now here on Chené and Golic Jr. Coming up next, I'm going to try and stop smiling and see if we can remember what sports we're supposed to talk about here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Only one still just smiling ear to ear like a moron. Our thanks to Christo Fernandez, a.k.a. Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso, joining us here on Chené and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Amber Wilson. If you missed it, check out the podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, review, wherever you get it. Amber's had to just watch me like an idiot in our Zoom chat right now, just smiling and bouncing around here in between segments.
Just glowing. But honestly, it's understandable. If you haven't yet seen Ted Lasso, like, what the hell are you doing with your life?
Honestly. Yeah. Like, do you hate joy? Do you not want to be happy here?
Do you not like fun? You don't like entertainment?
It is one of those shows, Amber, that I feel like a lot of people fight because it gets such a good reputation and it gets so many people arguing on its behalf, and you think it can't possibly live up to it, and yet time and time again it defeats even the most cynical expectations.
I will admit I am totally that person when it comes to entertainment. Like, yep. I bulk against whatever has become way overly popular. I never saw Game of Thrones, for example. I never did Walking Dead. I never did any of those shows. And one of the reasons is because everybody was talking about them at the time so much that I felt like I couldn't, like, I was late to the game, first of all. And then second of all, I felt like it was this commitment that I did not want to get involved in. Like, it was just too much of a life commitment. People were too absorbed. I didn't want to give that much of myself to a show. But with Ted Lasso, I started it before all the hype. I mean, I started it when everybody else did, but like in the beginning before everyone knew about it. So maybe you're feeling a little bit like that if you haven't yet caught on. But I assure you, it is worth the commitment and your time because it is that joyful every minute of that show. It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. It will make you dance. It will make you sing. It'll make you glow like Mike Golic Jr. is glowing.
Just beaming the purity of Christo Fernandez and Danny Rojas on our show. Look at God on a Friday here on Chené and Golic Jr. See? It's contagious. You can't help it, Amber. You just want to shout it even when he's on the show and you sound like a weird fanboy like I did. But I digress. Now, here on Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, we also, in addition to that, have had a lot of preseason football to get excited about around here. And we're
different type of football.
It's a very different type of football, the type that Ted Lasso was used to when he was winning national championships at Wichita State. Now, on the NFL level, Amber, we're excited about preseason football. We're excited about what Cam Newton did last night. Like, Amber, genuinely, I am happy to see Cam Newton doing well because since coming over to New England, he has continued to show that you can evolve, show that you can become a different place with a different background and a different coach now here and come together. Him and Bill Belichick seem to get along so well. Went out and performed incredibly well last night, pushed the ball down the field, was 4-for-4 on passes of over 20 air yards in that game. Amber, have we seen enough already for you to call it and say week one, this is going to be Cam Newton's job?
Well, I had seen enough before this game last night. Now, this game last night obviously helped my argument, but I already felt like it was Cam's job week one. And just because, and I keep reiterating it when we talk about Cam, but because I think that quarterback situation in New England is a bit unique compared to some of the other quarterback controversies around the league, because I don't feel like Cam is just some mediocre vet placeholder who's never done much in the NFL except for be a journeyman and be that placeholder. Cam, obviously, in his career, given albeit much earlier in his career, and now we're years removed from it, but we know where the ceiling used to lie with Cam and how high that ceiling was. He was an MVP player. And now we are here in 2021 with an allegedly healthy Cam Newton. He's still in his early 30s. He's not as old as people attribute to him. He's got a lot of miles on him, fine. But if he can get back to that Cam Newton form, then they could actually have a situation where maybe Cam Newton's their quarterback of the future. I mean, he's what, 11 years younger than Tom Brady or something of that nature, like a decade younger than the guy who they just moved on from. So if Cam does have a lot left in the tank, and if he can look like that guy again under center, then I could actually see a scenario where New England just sticks with him, or at least sticks with him for this entire season. In other words, I don't think he's necessarily just holding a place for Mac Jones. Like, the ceiling on Mac Jones, I have no idea where it is, but I know where it used to be with Cam. And I really have a hard time believing that Mac Jones, even if he turns out to be amazing and one day is a Hall of Famer, I have a hard time to believe that Mac Jones in his rookie season will be anywhere near as good as Cam once was. So I think you give Cam that opportunity, you start him for week one. I don't know how long that leash is, but I do think that he's the starter, like Bill Belichick has said many a times for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think it's, Amber, this for me got solidified last night, is that could very well happen. Now, I think the ceiling we talk about for Cam Newton is considerably lower at this point, just because physically he can't be that guy anymore. There's just no way. I don't believe, based on the injuries that he's sustained over the course of his decade-long NFL career so far, that it's just physically possible to be that same level of guy anymore. He can still be very good and in different ways. This is an offense with Josh McDaniels that we know can certainly make use of a lot and put a lot of his special gifts on display last year. But the biggest difference, and one a lot of people who have defended Cam this offseason pointed out, is he dealt with COVID during last season, and he dealt with the litany of opt-outs this team had. Like, you watch, and I know the Philadelphia Eagles are going to probably be the fourth best team in the NFC East. They are a team that did not start a lot of their top flight guys on the defensive line last night. But the Patriots got healthy, got their guys back, got Trent Brown back on that offensive line, and were mauling people. And that seems to be the identity they're going to be committed to, Amber. So whoever's under center is going to enjoy much better protection than Cam Newton did last year, and an offense that went out and spent more on some weapons that have gotten a little dinged up during the course of camp, in especially that tight end room there, still waiting to find out who the wideouts are going to be, but there's more support there. Like, I feel like whoever's out there under center has a chance, because this idea, team's identity, is clearly going to be the bully.
Yeah, it should be a much improved New England Patriots team, generally speaking, than we saw last season during, like you mentioned, a really weird season with a bunch of opt-outs on that team. And then, of course, they bring in weapons in the offseason. They bring in weapons through the draft. And Cam Newton is going to find himself in a position here where he gets to really show, are you right? Like, can he not live up to it because of all the injuries? And if, in fact, he does show that, what you're theorizing, then, of course, they will move on to Mac Jones. Because you and I haven't even talked about it yet during the segment. Like, Mac Jones wasn't bad last night either. I mean, no. He's 13 of 19, 146 yards over four drives. If Cam hadn't been as good as Cam was, we'd be excited about what we saw from Mac Jones. But it wasn't like Cam blew Mac Jones out of the water. So Mac Jones still looked incredibly competent and comfortable last night as well. So it is still a quarterback controversy there in New England. But I do think Cam won the starting job, at least for week one. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking like first half of the season kind of leash.
It would be impressive to see. And then we point this out so much because I think for different players, there's always this conversation of what's best for a young quarterback. We look at Trey Lance, and we've talked about this before. Does a guy who needs to play more football, who hasn't really played in 2 years almost, need to get out there and start getting some reps under his belt with your team, versus Mac Jones, who fresh off one season as a starter, but maybe if you can give him that added time to continue to develop, you don't have to push him out, and he's already performing like this. Maybe that's the best of both worlds.
It's funny, real quick, when we have those conversations, though, about how good it is for the rookie to sit behind the vet, I feel like we ignore that, like, maybe that rookie would have been just as good. Like, could Patrick Mahomes have been Patrick Mahomes if he had started right away? Or could Aaron Rodgers, even if he hadn't sat for all those years, if he had come in after like halfway through the season, would he have still been Aaron Rodgers? It's entirely possible those guys still end up being Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but I don't think it hurts Mac Jones to sit and to learn. I don't think it hurts anybody to sit and to learn, at least for a short period of time.
I am generally a believer in what you described, by the way, that most rookie quarterbacks would benefit from getting out there sooner, but I digress. Tune into an AL battle tomorrow as the Rays host the White Sox. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But coming up next, let's talk about the premier alliance in American sports right now. Next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A big announcement in the world of professional hockey, and it's only right on a day that Ryan Matlack, the star of On Thin Ice, ESPN Radio's premier NHL hockey coverage segment, is here with us in the production chair today, that we would get a chance to talk some puck coming up here in about 10 minutes of the show. I know Matlack's going to be jazzed. We might have to bring back the NHL Tonight music. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson filling in for Jhené Egbuamukeyte here on Jhené and Golic Jr. And Amber, I don't know if you're familiar with On Thin Ice here. We kind of really blazed the trail for hockey coverage on ESPN Radio during this last playoff run. So it's a pretty big deal. I'm excited you get to be here and experience this.
Jhené and Golic Jr. Hey, I'm excited too. I'm excited to be in the presence of Trailblazers.
A Trailblazer is exactly how I would describe Ryan Matlack. Now, a Trailblazer is also in some ways how I would describe Patrick Mahomes, because we've got other people following suit on some of the moves that he's made off the field. Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo has purchased an ownership stake in the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers announced this move on Friday. Patrick Mahomes, one of the minority investors in the Kansas City Royals not too long ago. And so we're seeing in areas that people would call small markets, the star players kind of investing in the other teams around the area in a little bit of an act of good faith, Amber, which I think always plays well there, especially when you're on top of the world the way he is right now.
Yeah, no kidding. On top of the world, that's dead on. I would say that Milwaukee fans have to absolutely love this. I mean, even if you're not a Brewers fan, because it just shows a further commitment to your market. And he already gave you that commitment by staying there when honestly nobody thought he would, because normally those kinds of superstars leave markets like that in today's NBA. But instead, he stayed. He got rewarded by them bringing in the right pieces around him in order to win a championship. And now he further shows his commitment to the city of Milwaukee. I love this from a superstar. I am really happy for that town and happy to see it.
That is, by the way, part of our MLB preview brought to you by the Samsung Galaxy. Get ready for the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G and the Z Fold 3 5G. Pre-order now at Samsung.com. And you're right, Amber, it was something I was talking about here. We had Myron Metcalf on, who is a big fan of Giannis, big fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, despite being a guy in Minnesota. Now, when we talked about this relative to someone like Aaron Rodgers, who has had so much of this offseason surrounded strife, Giannis continues to cement a lot of goodwill in this area that for a while, and Myron said locally, felt like it might be pushing some people away from Aaron Rodgers, who for so long it didn't seem like they were feeling the same love from.
Whenever we would talk about the Aaron Rodgers saga and then the Bucks, they kept making more headway and more headway and more headway in these playoffs. And I wondered, at what point does the Aaron Rodgers coverage actually get superseded by Giannis Antetokounmpo coverage? And I don't know if that actually happened there, because frankly, football, I think, still reigns supreme. But the Bucks are certainly on their way of trying to make that a basketball state and a basketball town. And this is going to help. I also like, Mike, the double sport portion of this conversation. And like you mentioned it with Mahomes, like I like athletes that go and then they're obviously fans of other sports too, and then that's where they put their money. It kind of makes them feel like multi-sport athletes. I think that component of this is cool too.
Well, for Patrick Mahomes, who has a background in baseball, we know his father is a former major leaguer. His wife, I believe, also, they became minority owners in the NWSL team in Kansas City. It is also, Amber, a reminder of just how much fun it's got to be cashing the winning lottery ticket the way that they have, because these are guys, I mean, Patrick Mahomes signed a $500 million contract. Giannis, before the season, calms everyone's worries and signs that Supermax extension with this team. And so now you're on top of the world. You've both got championships and MVPs basically under the age of, what, 25, 26. And now you get to go out and do what I think a lot of people grow up, a lot of kids and young sports fans, who wouldn't fantasize in some part about owning a piece of a sports team or being able to have a role like that. So you've lived out a dream in so many ways. This is just another extension of that.
I mean, everybody, all of us, even me, and I'm not playing sports out here, so it's never going to happen for me, but I dream of a Supermax. You probably dream of a Supermax. Mike Golic Jr., who doesn't dream of a Supermax? But doing this with that Supermax, that is an additional dream. You're right. Everybody would love, or at least all of us, and probably everybody listening to us, because we're all sports fans. We'd all love to have an ownership stake in a sports franchise. It's a cool thing for these athletes to be able to do, and do it during their playing careers, and give them more of a stake in the community that is supporting them and behind them as they're winning the championships that they're winning in their own respective sport. It's a really cool thing. It's also a cool thing here with Giannis, because with Supermaxes in the NBA, like, that kind of doesn't mean much anymore in terms of actually staying. Like, just because dude signed a Supermax doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be there forever. However, I would say the more and more he invests in that community, if you're a Milwaukee fan, the more confident you feel that his intention is actually to be there for at least quite some time.
Yeah, the Supermax had to make everyone feel good. The championship, not only a cause for celebration, but an added relax of the shoulders and unclenching of the jaw. Because now that you've shown we can get over the hump there, it becomes a lot easier than if they had lost in some glorious fashion to the Suns in the finals, and maybe Giannis starts asking some of those questions that we've seen other players work their way out of town for. So, Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis now a purchase stake in the Milwaukee Brewers. Part of the Brew Crew there, as the team announced today. Coming up next, though, we have a major announcement coming from the world of the NHL, and we will do it in the way that only this show knows how to. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I have long maintained this. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, who's filled in for Chiney Agumake with us all week, has been awesome. And we've already cemented our bond over enjoying 90s Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, the boy band era that was pop music here. Britney Spears is another like deep passion of mine, and I think a lot of ours here. Obviously, it's Free Britney all day. But that song, Overprotected, coming back in, Amber, I would argue, is the most underrated, consistently Britney Spears song of all time.
That's interesting. Most underrated. She has a slow song. See, you asking me to dip into my arsenal of like early 2000s Britney Spears is not something I thought you were going to throw at me here coming into the break. She has some slow song that the name escapes me that is also a very underrated Britney Spears song that is in fact good and actually
Lucky?
Showed that she kind of... Was it Lucky? Oh, man.
I mean, I feel like it could be Lucky. That's one that'll sneak up on you every once in a while. You'll hear it.
It may have been Lucky.
All I'm going to say is about four people in this room in between the control room all yelled Lucky.
That's the one I'm talking about. That's an underrated Britney Spears song where she actually like seemed like she could sing, because there's all the questions like, can Britney actually sing? Because Christina can sing the hell
she
out
can
of
sing. Sing. Watch your mouth.
Hey, get out of here
she
with that.
Sing.
Wow.
Listen, girl can sing. And Lucky's proof.
Girl's
but
got pipe.
It doesn't even matter if she can sing, because all of her songs are fire and they make you want to dance. So, yes, I'm here for early 2000s Britney.
See, we have continued to cement the bond this week. The great Amber Wilson, again, can't wait to have her back around here again soon. Always welcome here, permanent friend of the show status, as well as some other people we had joined. Teron Davenport, our ESPN Titans reporter, Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for us here, Booger McFarland, our ESPN football analyst. And my God in heaven, I still haven't stopped smiling. Christo Fernandez, the actor that plays Danny Rojas on the hit TV show Ted Lasso, joined us as well. If you missed any of those, download, subscribe, rate, and review the Chiney and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get your podcast. Let's finish out the week on a high note and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
Jake, it's all right, man.
That was slow trigger fingers,
it
Jake.
It was, you know, listen, we're getting used to the timing again. The reps here. It's a Friday. You were coming in. Jake, I've come full circle. I was throwing you under the bus before our great producer and board op today. And now I've come to your defense here. We're going to be great teammates. I'm sure that button just glitched on the screen here. No one's even going to notice. We're going to fix it in post. It's going to be great in the podcast.
I don't like Amber commenting on my trigger finger.
I'm sorry, but I saw Golic. I could see him. I could see him on ESPN Plus. He points to you, and then I just hear nothing for a dead air. The dreaded dead air on radio, which is what nightmares are made out of if you're in this industry. And for a second, I didn't know if you were going to get to it, but you got it. You got it.
We didn't see the silence alarm go off, and for that, we are thankful here. Keeping that same energy, though, this is a bit of really good news on a Friday here. Edward Ashoff is obviously a colleague of ours that everyone lost far too soon here, a beloved journalist and friend, and his legacy gets to continue to live on in the Edward Ashoff Rising Star Award that Thursday announced Grace Rayner from The Athletic as the recipient of this award, the second annual time given out, presented by the Football Writers Association of America. So, Amber, obviously, what a tragedy losing Ed as early as we did, but his legacy no doubt going to live on for so long, and certainly congrats to Grace on that great nomination and win.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a great way to honor his legacy, like you said, and a great honor of her and her incredible work at The Athletic as well.
Awesome stuff there. We want to certainly, obviously, always remember Ed and the great work and the great light he was to so many people. Keeping that same energy here on Chinay and Golic Jr., we're presented by Progressive Insurance. It's time for a little something we've done before here. Jake, get the music. You guys may be familiar with On Thin Ice, the premier hockey coverage of ESPN Radio. Ryan Matlack, our intrepid producer, bringing you the greatest puck news this side of the Mississippi. And Matlack, we got big news coming out of the NHL today on someone calling it a career.
We sure do. What's up, you hosers? Amber, Mike, thanks for bringing me in.
Full Canada on us.
Just wanted to, of course, and I have to go full Canada here, although we are honoring a Swedish man, a beautiful Swedish man, Henrik Lundqvist, finally wrapping it up after a 15-year career in the NHL. Unbelievable career that unfortunately did not result in a Stanley Cup, although he did make one trip to the Stanley Cup. The best part of this story, though, is that he was trying to play one more season, Mike and Amber, and unfortunately, he started running into some health issues and actually had open heart surgery. And so the decision wasn't necessarily out of the blue, but I don't think many hockey fans expected it coming today. I certainly didn't when I woke up and saw it on Twitter. But got to give an absolute salute to one of the best. Hail my king, King Henrik. Unbelievable career, and a lot of New York Ranger fans today certainly not upset, but they're certainly probably looking back at a wonderful career and cannot wait until that banner is raised at the Garden this season.
There is no doubt, Amber, one of the legendary names around the sport. And like Matlack said, with those health worries that you had there, certainly not surprising, but still shocking, if that makes sense.
True king of New York. He retires at 39 years old after an incredible career. Of course, the Rangers were immediate in announcing that they would be retiring his jersey. Just an unbelievable career. A legend.
A legend calling it quits here, but we've got some legends getting started this weekend. The Little League World Series getting going, started yesterday, going through this weekend. Very excited to see the boys get after it. We thought we'd relive some of the best intros that the Little League World Series has provided us over the years. Listen to these beauties.
My name is Nate Kyle. My favorite food is buffalo wings.
Hi, my name is Will Patton, and I like Skittles.
Taste the rainbow!
Hi, my name is Max Willett, and I'm better than Cam Hyzak at Fortnite.
Not true.
Hi, my name is Jay Clardy. I lost my voice.
What? I'm Tyler Simon, and I get mad chicks.
I'm Logan Lama, and I like to eat omelets. Cheesy.
My name is Cody Fretz, and I do the Killer Goat Impression.
Hi, my name is Drew Eric. My parents name me Drew, but everyone else calls me Swags.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Big Al, King of Kings.
I hit dingers.
Oh, those words will live in infamy in our hearts.
Those are some witty kids.
I tell you, the kids, they are all right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz got you covered up next. Football is life!
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.